Thank you, sweet Sarah.
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful song for leading us in worship today.
Yes.
I am absolutely thrilled to look out and see a church full of folks. And most of you, of course, are family and members and regular attenders. We have got a ton of guests today. A lot of
folks.
Just thank you. Give the Lord a hand. I hope you and your family have had a wonderful Christmas. Sweet Libby and I have. And one of the reasons we have is because of you. You blessed us with our house had so many Christmas cards around it. And you had so many wonderful ways of encouraging us and blessing us. Thank you for having that Christmas a special time. And I pray that your time with your family while they're here, family while you're here, will be a special and blessed, wonderful time. Well, let's turn a page on the calendar, shall we? I want to talk to you about 2025, a new year.
Yes.
And if you're writing it down,
yes,
put either a question mark or an exclamation mark. Or it can be a new year as far as our walk with the Lord and our service to the Lord and our commitment to the Lord. Or it can be another year, just another year. And I pray that God will do something this morning and speak to our hearts through His Word from the heart of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And of course, there's no reference. The context is not a New Year celebration, but the application is still there. So I want you to follow along with me, please, as I begin reading in verse 5. 2025, a new year, and I've got in my notes a question mark and an exclamation mark. How will you end your title of today's sermon? Paul is sharing with the church at Philippi his heart for them and his heart for the love of the Lord Jesus. And he challenges them to come alongside of him to make this time a time of a brand new surrender, a new commitment, a new dedication of their lives to the Lord. Philippi was one of Paul's favorite churches. In the four chapters that of this little letter that is written, the word joy is found 16 times. And Paul loved this church wonderfully, and they were a blessing, and he wanted God's very best for them. And folks, I've got a good word for you. God wants His best for you. God wants His best for you. That doesn't mean we won't have heartaches. Doesn't mean we won't have problems. Don't mean we won't have difficulties. It means we've got a God who will get us through every step along the way. And Paul says, I want you to learn with me, Paul would have said, how to become a victorious, overcoming believer in the love of the Lord Jesus. Beginning in verse 5, Paul begins his resume of the things that he had accomplished and done in his life to the end that he's not done. The best is yet to come. And his commitment is, of course, to keep his eyes on Jesus. Beginning in verse 5, Paul reflects on his life all the way back to his childhood. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul is saying, I want you to know, when it comes to the law, it comes to the serving of the Lord as far as worship, I have followed every jot, every tittle, every line, every standard, every requirement, every need. He said, concerning zeal, I didn't just do it, I did it with enthusiasm. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained in verse 7? To me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ. No matter how much I had accomplished under the law, no matter how I had considered walking the line, if you will, of religious correctness, it wasn't enough until I found Jesus, until He started me on a journey, and He was saying, I want to talk to you about this journey. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, that I may win Christ, and be found in verse 9 in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Paul really reminds us here that no matter how good of a life that we live, no matter how many of the laws that we keep, God's laws, how many of the Ten Commandments we walk alongside and keep, none of us is righteous enough. None of us is good enough. None of us is spiritual enough to make it on our own without a personal relationship with Christ. My desire is to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Whatever else may be said about my life, Paul would say, may it be said I trusted in Jesus and Jesus only as my source of righteousness and my clothing, my cloak of righteousness, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is in God by faith, verse 10, that I may know him. I've got that underlined in my Bible. Paul, what do you mean that you may know him? Well, the old songwriter put it well, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is what?
Sweeter than the day before.
Paul said, I trusted him, but I'm discovering what a Savior he is, what a wonderful Lord he is. And he just gets like the old boy, it's a little bit tongue-tied, and he's just getting sweeter and sweeter all the time. Thank God for a relationship with the Lord that gets better with every single day, that I may know him in verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In verse 12, not as though I had already attained, I hadn't arrived yet, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if I may apprehend or pursue or reach that goal for which I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, look at verse 13. I love verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended or to have achieved or to reach that goal, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in the next verse and says, as many of you as be likewise, like-minded, pursue the same goal in your life and your walk with the Lord. I want to share with you three or four truths this morning. Normally we'd have you a study guide, but the holidays schedule made it a little bit difficult to do that, so bear with us, and maybe the note page that you have there was sufficient. There are three or four things in these verses that I want us to note that stand out. In verses 5 through 7, Paul shares in the Philippians, this is what I was. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I was a Jew among the Jews. I'd done everything right. I'd obeyed all the laws. I'd followed all the commandments, and I'd done it all. But there was something missing in my heart. This is what I was like. And if religion, if walking a good walk and obeying the law could make you a fulfilled person, I should have been a fulfilled person. But something was deeply missing in my life. And Paul on the Damascus Road discovered what that was one day. And it was a relationship with Jesus by grace and faith. Number one, this is what I was, but it wasn't enough. Thank God for moral people. Thank God for religious people. Thank God for good people. But thank God most of all for saved people who've discovered what it is to know the Lord Jesus personally. And this, in verse 5 through 7, this is what I want. Verses 8 through 11, this is what I want. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I know him. But, you know, being saved is a lot like being married. I'm sorry, WT. Just take some good notes. You'll need this one day.
It's all good.
Being married, being saved is a lot like being married. And when Liv and I got married, we were so young. I was embarrassed to tell you, I was 17. And I was really sharp as a 17-year-old. You know that's true. No, I was kind of dumb, I guess, but not because of that, because God blessed me. He looked over me and said, "Boy, I'm going to give you a wonderful wife, in spite of your ignorance, in spite of your ignorance." And if you'd asked me if I knew this lady, and if I knew her as well as anybody, I would say, absolutely. There's nothing about this lady I don't know, nothing about this person I don't understand. And then our first week anniversary came up. And I learned some things. I learned there's one thing that you don't do. Our folks have heard me tell this story. I almost committed the unpardonable sin. You see, I was digging a septic tank for our mobile home. I was, and Libby said, "Supper's ready." And I said, "Hang on, I'll be there in a little while." And she came back out in a few moments, and she said again, "Supper's ready." Meaning, get yourself out of that hole. And it declined into a discussion, it declined into an argument. Now, don't look so spiritual.
That's right.
If you've never had an argument, this doesn't apply to you, but if you've been married, you had one somewhere along the way. And I want to tell you, I've made one of the most awful mistakes I've ever made. I climbed out of that septic tank hole, and I turned her over my knee and gave her a spanking. Now, wait a minute now, ladies. Let me finish the story. It ain't never happened again. I found something out about that girl I didn't know before. You don't mess with Libby. And Paul said, listen, I was saved, and the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And not only this is what I was, but what I want is, I want to become more like Jesus. I want to become more like the Christian God wants me to be. Verses 8 through 11. Everything else has been lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that I may win him. And I want to be found in him, not clothed in my own righteousness, but clothed in his righteousness. And I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him as the life-changing, life-altering Christ that he is. This is what I was. Verses 8 through 11, this is what I want. Number 3, this is where I am. Verse 12 through 14. I haven't already attained. I'm running the race. I'm in the battle, I'm in the fight, but I hadn't gotten there yet. By the way, one of the ways that you know you're growing in the Lord is you realize you need to grow in the Lord. And one of those biggest stumbling blocks to growing in our faith is assuming everything is well, because we go to church, we believe the right things, we've been saved a long time. But folks, it just gets better and better with time, and sweeter. And it's like that race, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are before. Paul said there's a race that we're running. In fact, the Hebrew writer said, run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. We want to finish our race well. I enjoyed watching the Olympics on TV this year, and I'm reminded of the admonition of Paul to finish your race well. And I saw those runners running across the finish line and leaning over into the tape that they might have done their very best in the race. Paul said, this is what I am. This is what I want. This is where I was. And then he said in number 4, this is my renewed priority for my life. Verses 13 to 14. Listen to Paul's words. Brethren, I haven't arrived, haven't apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to share with you these closing moments, if I may. Paul's testimony was, this is my renewed priority. I want my life to line up with several wonderful, wonderful truths. First of all, in verse 13, I want my life to manifest a single-mindedness. This one thing I do. There is nothing in this world that ought to compete with your love for the Lord Jesus. Nothing more important, nothing more significant, nothing more meaningful, nothing more relevant than your walk with the Lord. And it's not something we just kind of show up for on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. It's a It's a walk with the Lord that begins every morning when I get up and I feet hit the floor. My friend Junior Hill has been in glory now for a year or two. Junior's one of my dear, dear friends. Used to say that when he got up in the morning, he'd get out of bed and get on his knees and fall by his bedside and say, "Jesus, Private Hill reporting for duty." What a wonderful way it is to say, "Lord, I want my whole life to be centered around the Lordship of Christ. One, I want my life to be marked by single-mindedness. This one thing I do. I want my life to be marked by a godly forgetfulness." Look at verse 13. "A godly forgetfulness, forgetting those things which are behind. Putting behind you the past that you cannot reclaim." By the way, there are some things we need to forget as we move forward in the journey of life. We ought to forget the injuries and the hurts. You see, the devil will remind you every day of why somebody doesn't deserve your love or deserve your respect or deserve your goodness. Thank God for a Lord whose blood washes away all of our sin. Thank God for a God who makes it possible for relationships to be right, and an earthly relationship as well as a heavenly relationship. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, the best ways for the new year to be a glorious, overcoming, victorious new year is learn what to leave behind. Now, there are a lot of things we embrace because we need to learn from them. But those things that hinder us, we need to leave behind. And Paul said, my commitment as I move forward in my life is to keep my focus on Jesus. A single-mindedness is one thing I do. A godly forgetfulness. A spiritual focus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, reaching forth those things which are before. Keep on growing. Keep on discovering the wonderful things God has. I've been saved a long, long time. I was 12 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. And through years of growing and pastoring churches and preaching and going to seminary and all those wonderful things God allowed me to do, I've learned something. God's best is for right now. In John 3, one of my favorite passages, we won't turn there, I'll just remind you of it, is Jesus attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of punch at the wedding. Y'all remember that story? And Jesus blessed it, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, tasted the new punch. And she said, "This is better than anything I've ever had before, tasted before." She said, "Jesus, you have saved the best for now." And I've got a sermon I preach. We used to preach a long time ago. When Jesus shows up, he saves his best for now. Yes. He's always a good God. I want, as I face this new year, I want a single-mindedness in what I do. I want a godly forgetfulness. I want a spiritual focus. And in verse 15 and following, I want to be an example to others. Look at verse 15. "Let us therefore be thus minded, be perfect. Let us walk by the same rule." In verse 16, "Let us mind the same thing." Well, verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me. Let's walk this journey together. Let's seek the Lord's best together." 2025. A new year. For you, will it be an exclamation mark because of the commitment that you make, even perhaps today, to the Lordship of Christ? Doesn't mean you get saved again. Doesn't mean that at all. This means that you recognize that there is a time for a new surrender, a new commitment, a new yielding, a new commitment of our lives to the Lordship of Christ. And there are a couple of times God's blessed my life in a great way. When I was saved, there would be never another day quite like that day. But also there was a day when God reclaimed me because I'd gotten away from the Lord. My heart had grown cold and I began to backslide. And I realized God had not forgotten me. And God had let me come back. And I remember the day at the altar of our church, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I realized God had a call on my life to preach, but I couldn't hear it until I got my heart right with God. And then there was a day God called me to preach. Oh, my goodness. Nobody was more surprised than me. But also, thank God, the celebration's not over. One of these days, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Lean into the tape. Run like you've never run before. Let finish your race well. And may you put at the end of your sermon title this morning, 2025, exclamation mark. Thank God for the year it's going to be because of Jesus and because of my commitment to walk with Him today and every day as long as He lets me live. May God bless you with a wonderful new year as you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let's pray together.